Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, like I didn't know other way to deal with a cat whose claws are currently in my back. So what I did is I just slowly turned around, tried to ignore the pain, walked toward a bed in Carter's room where I knew the cat was comfortable, and just got close to it and sort of just leaned toward the bed and going like, okay, you can get off now. You can just like get off. And it still just hung on for a while. And
oh God.
Yeah, it was bad news, yeah. Man. Not the funnest experience I've had with a cat in 2023, but
no, gosh, at least it'll be the last experience you have with a cat in 2023.
That's true. Well, let's hope so. She's got, you know, how many hours now? she still could squeeze something in. Or he. Or something. I keep saying she to he.
Yeah, all my cats are she's. Salem was upstairs, so prior to coming down here, we were watching. I've got that bird feeder that with the built-in video camera that Nicole and Mark had, and like, oh my God, I need one of those.
Right.
And but the squirrels have been obnoxious with it. They get up there and they just knock bird seed out of that thing like crazy. So so I tried spikes, I tried relocating the squirrels, catching them in the humane carrier and relocating them. And finally now I'm just to the point where it's like, fine, I give up. It's the raccoons that have bothered me more because they pull the whole thing down and destroy it.
Oh, have they done that? They've yanked the whole thing?
Yeah, they pulled it down, and it's part of the roof is broken because they do that.
The roof?
Oh, the roof is on fire. Wow.
Oh, we're on the stream now. Stream's
started. Are we on?
Okay. We're on. So I'll just finish this story. Yeah. So I says to the guy, I got a little baffle to put around above the bird feeder. Squirrels don't get to it. I mean, squirrels can still get to it, and they try, but it keeps the raccoons out. Uh-huh. And but we watched one of the squirrels jump onto it, onto try to get to the bird feeder, miss, hit the side of the baffle, and like ricochet off of that thing.
Oh my gosh.
So dude. I had to show my parents Mark Rober and his amazing squirrel obstacle course video. And
that's insane.
That is such a fantastic video.
Yeah, we can all agree that raccoons are kind of dicks, right? They're kind of dicks.
Yeah, raccoons are little trash pandas. They're dicks.
Yeah.
Rocket's fine, but the rest of them can go.
Yeah, they're out of here. Forget it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, it's good to be here. I guess we got everybody in there. We're going to do like a little bit of a formal start with some music or just
intro
music. Yeah,
we should totally do that.
Nothing crazy because this is obviously a little different than our usual show, but we're glad to be here. Big thanks to the Diamond Group for allowing us to be a part of their their event again this year. And before we start things off proper, a reminder that if you head on over to dcstreamathon.org/donate, you too can contribute to a wonderful cause, the Extra Life Child Network, which is amazing and does incredible stuff for kids every year. And once again, these guys are raising good money for the kids. Children's Miracle Network Hospitals is who you're giving it to. So go check it out again. Cool. That is the website dcstreamathon.org/donate. I will now start the show. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
The Morning Stream. This little piggy's going to market.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special little one-off New Year's Eve version of TMS. As you can tell, it's a little bit different. We don't have a bunch of intros or crazy sound effects or anything. It's just me, Scott Johnson, and him, Brian Ibbett, hanging out.
Hello. Hello. Happy New Year's Eve to you guys listening live, and happy New Year's Day to those of you who are catching this on the stream the day after.
That's right.
New Year's Day.
Our Australian people are already over there doing it.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
I think.
Hello, Australians. Hello, Lucky Phil.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're listening, Lucky Phil, but that's not a midnight. This is a midnight.
Yeah.
It's not a ball drop.
Lucky Phil, if you're listening, you should be, because it just dropped, I don't know, an hour ago or something.
Yeah,
something like
I think
that.
So.
Who's our
ball drop will kill you.
What's
what the world's most deadliest ball?
What country flips over when we do it?
We have Bangladesh, regions of Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Bhutanese New Year.
Oh, no way. That's perfect.
Bhutanese, British Indian Ocean Territory, Omsk in Russia, and the small region of Antarctica.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Stay warm. Bhutanese, get your passport. And everybody else, Kazakhstan. That's like my wife.
Bhutanese passport.
Nice. See, I told you guys no soundboard today, but Brian's got one in his heart.
I just have echo. That's all I've got. That's the limit of my...
That's right.
Yeah.
The Brian echo. More reliable than my Amazon Echo, I can tell you that. Anyway, we hope you're all doing well and had a good holiday, good Christmas. TMS has kind of been off the air for 4 days or so as we decided to take a little bit of a break ourselves. We're back at it on Tuesday, but all of you are going to get this little extra episode, and that includes patrons and regular people alike, because we think everybody should take part in children's charity streamathons, for real.
That's right.
Look, here's the deal. Even if you're not here for the live stream today... my understanding is that you can go to that link anytime and get
donations
in there and do it whenever.
It's going to be available for a while after the DC Streamathon. So.
That's right. So dcstreamathon.org/donate is where you want to go. Understand.
It's Diamond Group. So why is it DC Streamathon?
I know. Isn't that weird? It's weird. I always thought it was group.
That's
maybe
right.
Something changed.
I know, at least I know their symbol, right? The Diamond Group symbol.
Yeah, it's the cross.
Two crossed fingers.
The cross fingers like this.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like this.
No, it's your two middle fingers crossed. It's the two middle
fingers. Yeah, we do that. Great. We'd flip the bird on a charity screen. All right. Yeah.
Excellent. For the kids. We did it for the kids.
For the kids.
That's right. But anyway, we're glad to be doing it. Glad they invited us, and glad to be back on the air. It feels like Brian and I have done other stuff in between all of these things, but it still feels weird not having TMS for 4 days. It's freaking.
Yeah. If you have not listened to the Coverville Final Countdown, Final Countdown stream, the top 20 cover songs of 2023, I strongly urge you to do so. Amazing stuff in there. Juliana Hatfield, T-Pain. That War Pigs cover by T-Pain. Come on.
Crazy. All we do is think of T-Pain as like the what is it?
I'm on a boat. I'm wearing a flippy floppy.
Well, that, but also the weird, the reverb thing.
Auto-tune.
Auto-tune. We have made a mistake with that. We have missed one of the most belted out singers I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And the organ work in that song, it sounds like I'm saying something dirty, but I'm not. But the organ work in that that cover of War Pigs, just freaking brilliant.
It's so good. So why was 2023 such a good cover year in your estimation? What happened?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's any better than any other year, but it's just that the last 20, because I work really hard to first listen to all 385, this year is 385 covers I had to choose from for the top 40. And I'm sure there were more that I didn't even know about.
Right.
And so I'm like grouping them into groups of 10 or like into buckets of 10. Like, all right, these are the ones I think are going to be in the top 10. These are the ones I think are going to be 10 to 20, et cetera.
Right.
And then from there, and it's like, I end up with like 30 in the top 10 or 30 and, and so I then have to say, okay, of those top 10, which ones do I move down in the top 20? Which ones of those do I move down? And just the stuff this year, as with every year, that best of the best of the best is just so much fun to listen to.
Any of those Dolly Parton songs make it in there to the top 10?
Number 40 was her cover of Wrecking Ball with her goddaughter Miley.
Okay.
It's hard to... That's such a hard album to love. I love Dolly, and I love, her cover of Shine by Collective Soul is fantastic. Knocking on Heaven's Door, she's done some great covers over the years, but the stuff on her Rockstar album, it's the whole whispery thing that she did.
That weird whispered ender at the end where it's like,
yeah, almost every song has it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Champions.
Not a fan.
No.
Just you doing it now is freaking annoying. Like, did no one, is everyone afraid to say something to Dolly? Because she is, you know, Lord of all she surveys. Did any producers just have the thought to go, you know, maybe just one or two of those this time, maybe not the whole
album.
But
if you're a fan of Dolly Parton's, like I'm a fan of Dolly Parton's covers, the rest of her music is okay. I love Code of Many Colors and Jolene and the original of I Will Always Love You and all those things. Love those. But the, you know, the rest of her country stuff is a little too pulled myself up from my bootstraps storyline over and over and over again for me. I don't need to know all that stuff.
Sure.
I know you get a hard candy Christmas, but you know, we don't need to keep hearing about it. That kind of stuff I won't typically listen to. And it's the people who really love that kind of stuff who will love the album Rockstar, because it is the Dolly that you get in all of her originals, just done with covers and her acting out some of the lyrics and that sort of thing.
Well, she was working 9 to 5 to make a living or whatever.
That's right, exactly.
Yes. Well, that's cool. Go make sure you check that out, you guys. It's all up there.
Yeah.
And do you feel relieved now that you got the work done?
Because the last several episodes of the year are always really tough, really, or a lot of work, like the all Beatles episode for Thanksgiving, Christmas episode. I got to come up with something unique for every Christmas episode. I try to, instead of just being, here's another cover of Jingle Bells. And so it's, you know, the last 5 episodes of the year are always a mix of that kind of stuff. So now I'm on the other side and I can go back to saying, all right, here's another collection of Milli Vanilli covers coming at you.
That's right. You get back on the regular treadmill, get off the Dolly treadmill end of year treadmill. The
countdown treadmill.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
But easier now that you don't have that 24-hour freaking thing.
Oh, right? Gosh. Yeah, the cover-thon.
That was
a
lot. That was hard.
That was a lot. And that wiped, that's a young man's game, a 24-hour podcast stream. And I'm no longer a young man.
Even these guys in the Diamond Group, they're running this thing for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And that's, even if it's not them on air all the time, it's a ton of work, man.
It's a ton of work. And the stuff that goes into this, they start this thing early with the, all the work that they do and prepping for this. And so big props.
Yeah. Big props to those guys. Let's all do the symbol once again. Here's the symbol.
It's the sword. It's the crossed middle fingers. That's what it is.
Yeah. Cross your middle fingers and hope for the best. All right. We're
not getting a Christmas card from jury.
That's all right. I didn't get one either. So don't worry about it. Let us do this. Let us dive right into some fun wrap up stuff. So the one thing we do a lot during the show, during TMS, and for those who've never heard the morning stream before, you're missing out. It's the best morning show on the internet. You should be listening every day.
It sounds a lot like this.
It's a lot like this. We have a lot of guests and segments and, you know, we do news. We do all kinds of stuff. Today we're going to be a little bit different though, because during the year, there's a lot of like us showing up to the show and going, hey Brian, I watched this last night. It was awesome. You should check it out. Or later he'll say, ooh, have you heard this new album? Blah, blah, blah. And we just kind of brush over those things throughout the year. And we never really get a chance to sum it all up. So that's kind of what we're doing today. And we're doing it in the 4 categories that he and I believe anyway, love the most. These are 4 categories of life for us.
Mm-hmm. They are, yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So I'm gonna start with a little intro here. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't know what that is.
That's right. We said it.
Yeah, that's right. You heard it. That was some Genesis game I found randomly. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're gonna sum up our favorite television shows of the year, movies, music, and games. And we're going to do our top 3 each and see if any of this jives with what you guys liked. Okay. Because these are all the things, you know, we like to spend our leisure time with. And we're going to start with my picks for television.
Okay.
My top 3 go like this. Number 1, Last of Us. I thought it was amazing. And it was proof, finally, like, I think definitive proof that you could take a video game and make a really good quality adaptation of it outside of the game media or out of the medium of video games. And they did that so deftly and so well that I am still to this day impressed. Now, some would say, well, that's easier because that game was basically a huge story that was already kind of like a great example of a game that felt like a movie or a TV show. Like it was so well made that way. There was so much story and character that really you're not having to worry about translating things like in a Mario movie or something where it's more about simple mechanics. Although they proved they could do that this year as well. But the old Mario movie is a better example. When you try to make a live action thing, you're usually playing with fire and they don't often work. In fact, most of the time they suck. Mm-hmm. This is a time where they finally figured out sometimes you just got to tell the story that's in the game and do it with really good acting and production value. And also, it's okay to change up some story, to expand on some story. It gave me some of the most interesting and chilling moments that I've had in television in a long time. Yeah. Loved The Last of Us.
So fantastic. Good. And kind of the thing that emphasizes the how well it works is that if you played the game, you loved the show. And if you didn't play the game, Gene and I got in, I probably did 2 hours into The Last of Us and enjoyed the game, but never got a chance to finish it. Something else shiny caught my eye or whatever.
Yeah.
And people who played the game a little, people who played the game all the way through, and people who've never played the game at all loved it equally. So mm-hmm. that's a great sign that what you've done is not just catering to the fans.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't fan service, this show. It was just service. It was just good.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't wait for whatever they follow up with. I thought it was amazing. So that was number one for me. Sure. Number two for me, Kunk on Earth.
Now this awkward British comedy.
Exactly. You may say to yourself, well, wait, that was a while ago, and it's kind of just this awkward thing. She already did a million of these over in Britain, so it wasn't like it was new necessarily. But for me, it was the first time I'd seen a full version of what this is that she does.
Yeah.
And it's on Netflix. If you haven't seen Kunk on Earth, you should take your time to watch it. What I loved about it is in a world, or let's say a year full of ridiculous hyperbolic nonsense, especially on the internet, from everybody and everyone, this was so refreshing because it was like she's talking to real people at real museums, real scientists, real historians, whatever, and she's presenting herself like she's the biggest idiot in the world about the questions she's asking, but it has this way of making you think more about what she's saying. Like it had a way of educating you about the thing she's so dumb about.
Yes.
Despite how dumb she's approaching it.
In spite of herself. Yes, exactly.
It's really brilliant the way they do it. And again, I know the Brits and others have already had their dose of this and they knew that it was already good. And I'm a Johnny come lately, but I'm really glad.
And Diane Morgan is just so good at that kind of inept confidence. It's the person who's ignorant but very confident about it, which makes it fantastic.
Yeah.
And the way
she says things makes you go, oh yeah, that's why we do that. That's why we're so stupid about this. Like she has a way of cracking open these eggs that I've not experienced before. And there is something about that deadpan British approach delivery that just really works. She's great.
If you haven't seen her in Afterlife, the Ricky Gervais show, the comedy about a widower played by Ricky Gervais, but she's excellent. She works at the this newspaper this really tiny town newspaper that she works at with Ricky Gervais, and she's hilarious in that as well. That is like a top tier ensemble comedy.
Yeah, it's very good, and she's very good in it. Like you said, I hope they're doing more of the Netflix US stuff.
Yeah,
so too. If they're not, it's fine. I can go get it all on BritBox, but it's worth watching. If you haven't, that's Kunk on Earth. Fantastic. It's maybe, what, like 6-7 episodes, 8 episodes, something like that?
I think so. I think 8, yeah.
Yeah, it's short. So easy to consume and get in there. And then finally, a drama. Well, I guess I did a drama already, but let's go to another drama. I absolutely loved the Silo adaptation from Hugh Howey's very popular novels called the Silo series. And Silo, I thought Silo was amazing. It was one of my favorite shows and had an incredible cast. Everybody in it's amazing. Rebecca Ferguson can do zero wrong in my life. Nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. If she's not the Queen Mother Atreides in Dune, then she's over here doing this business. And she was incredible. Actually, everybody, small parts, bit parts, little stuff, people you didn't expect to be in there. Yeah. Tim Robbins was great. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Who was the one? Who was there? Oh, crap. I should have it in front of me, but it's the dude from Everything. He's the bad guy in The Postman, and he was in Armageddon. What's wrong with
that? I thought you could say Giancarlo Esposito, but not him. Not the other guy who's in Everything.
Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito now has the new title of I'm in Everything. That's his job. Yeah. Here it is. It is...
David Oyelowo? No.
Will Patton.
Will Patton, yeah.
It's not, to spoil anything, but it's not a permanent role for him.
Right.
But while he's there, just eats up the screen. I really like Common in this.
Yes.
Everybody's great. It's such a great show. And if you like science fiction and you like dystopic future stuff, do yourselves two favors. One, watch the show, and doesn't matter the order. I really believe this. You can watch the show now and read the books later, or read the books now and watch the show later. I don't actually think it matters. The books are way more in depth, but you're going to be very entertained one way or the other.
And I'm guessing, like Red Fraggle did, Amy did in our group here, she watched the first season and then said, I need more, and went got the books and started pouring through those.
Yeah, and it was actually pretty fun to talk back and forth with her as this was going on, because she was reading that stuff the exact same time I was.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun read together. Just can't recommend it enough. If you don't like, you know, science fiction, what if sort of dystopic future-y stuff, then maybe not. But for me, it was a clear winner for me this year. Brian, let's jump over to you. What did you like this year on television?
We'll start with my comedy, which was a show called Shrinking. This was on Apple TV Plus. This is your Jason Segel therapist who works with Jessica Williams and Harrison Ford. Yeah, a little guy named Harrison Ford. The funniest thing I've ever seen Harrison Ford do. Not like he does a lot of comedies, but so Amy corrected me. She read the books while the shows were going on.
Oh, gotcha.
Get enough of it.
All right.
This is your uplifting comedy. Again, I hate to go on a theme here about a widower.
Yeah, another widower.
This thing is one that just makes you feel really good after you watch it. It's about a therapist who loses his wife and kind of needs therapy himself, but kind of takes a different approach to his therapy by telling his patients what he really thinks, and that has interesting results. But it's the backup cast, Krista Miller, who is his neighbor from Drew Carey's show. Mm. She's great. Mm. Ted McGinley is her husband, and he's fantastically apathetic to just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi Gardner is one of his patients. Heidi Gardner from SNL, playing a really obnoxious narcissist patient of his. Wendy Malick, Lily Robb. It's a great ensemble cast, but it's heartwarming, sweet, and I think Harrison Ford is given somebody there loves him because they give him the best lines and the best character to play.
It's also our second of the six that we've covered here at the second Apple TV thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because Silo was as well.
I think they had a great year for their originals.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quick. This is funny. While you were bringing this up, literally the second you brought up this show.
Yeah.
I got a group text from my daughter that says, and I'll put it here in the view. This is from Taylor. She says, "Have you guys watched Shrinking on Apple TV with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford?"
Just now?
Yeah, so freaking funny and great. And Kim replied, I need it then or something. But about the time you started talking about this, I get a group text completely unrelated from my family. Yeah. There it is.
Well, good. Discord. Listen to them and watch it. It's the most heartwarming thing you'll see all year. It's so fantastic.
Nice.
Second for me, I had to swap these. Because I had one in parentheses. Forgot one of them was a movie, not a TV show, but Justified City Primeval. So the continuation of the Justified series with Raylan Givens and a little bit of your Walton Goggins in there. And this is a continuation of the Justified TV show based on Elmore Leonard's novel City Primeval, which takes him out of the holler and puts him into Detroit. and
which is the home, if I remember right, in the series Full Run, it was always the place where the mob was coming from, the drugs were coming from. Detroit was the big nemesis, really, in the background.
Exactly. Yeah. And so now he ends up in Detroit, but less about the mob that he's going after and more about this horrendous dude named Clement Mansell, Boyd Holbrook, this known as the Oklahoma Wild Man, and he is just evil, evil, evil. Yeah, you don't get a lot of Walton Goggins in this, but this is excellent. And you get his daughter, like Raylan Givens' daughter is prominent in this thing, and it's his real daughter. It's Vivian Oliphant.
Oh, no way! That's cool.
Willa, yeah, playing his actual daughter.
If it sounds like I haven't seen it, it's because I haven't, and it's annoying to me that I haven't, because I love Justified. Loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge fan. I've seen that series twice.
And so why haven't you hit this? And you get everybody from the series. Keith David is in this thing. I know he wasn't in the regular series. He's a Detroit judge. Yeah. David Cross, David Koechner, Matt Craven, both from the original Justified.
Ooh, Von D. Curtis Hall. I love him.
Yeah. There's no reason for you not to.
Well, I can tell you what happened. Kim and I were like, well, let's wait for it to all pile up. And then we forgot.
Right.
We just forgot.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
So we'll get back to it at some point.
Kind of on the same token, I really enjoyed Luther the Fallen Son. Another kind of last piece of the puzzle. Luther Fallen Son was a movie as opposed to a TV show, so I can't really count it here. Yeah. And it's not going to be one of my top movies. But it's one of these things where, hey, let's revisit a character from several years ago and see what they're doing and give them another challenge. So that's really good.
Nice.
My last one, because I had to have a reality show on here, but it's the only reality show that I've ever watched that made me feel really good at the end. And that was a show called Jury Duty. And the premise is they find this guy and basically do a Truman Show situation with him, where they put him into a jury duty scenario where he's in this group of 12 people and a court case and a defendant and a prosecutor, everybody. And everybody else is in on this joke, or not joke, but in on this ruse, except for him. And he basically they try and break this guy, and he's unbreakable. He's like, he turns out to be the nicest guy and bends over backwards to do everything for everybody else. There's a James Marsden moment that you'll never forget for as long as you live. that you now will forever associate with James Marsden whenever you see him, anything else. But James Marsden plays himself, but a really horrible version of himself.
Hmm. And is the premise he's in the same jury. He's been picked.
He's another jury member even tries to get out of it with this guy's help and isn't able to get out of it.
Wow.
But Jury Duty, if you watch no other reality show, and there are a lot of them you should not watch, you should watch Jury Duty.
Jury Duty was originally a Freevee joint in April and then moved. Freevee's owned by Prime, so Prime moved it over into regular Prime. And so now you can watch this thing commercial free. It's just available if you have
Perfect.
Prime.
Good. Good.
So that's
and
good.
You should.
Nice. Great list there. Again, Last of Us, Kunk on Earth, Solo, Shrinking, Justified, City Primeval. Luther the Fallen Son gets a little mention.
A little mention, even though it's not a show.
Sure.
It's a continuation of a show.
We love Idris Elba. Give it to him.
Obviously, we stayed away from new seasons of like recurring shows. City Primeval is kind of a little bit of a cheat, but we didn't do like Your Honor season 2, which was so good.
Oh, it's so good.
And Fargo's current season and everything like that one we can't do.
Yeah, these are all kind of, we're trying to keep it all like, hey, new shit happened this year, so here's what we're talking about.
Exactly. Should we do, before we do this, I think we got the countdown to Midnight in Bangladesh, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Bhutan, British Indian Ocean Territory.
Oh my gosh, it's happening. It's happening. Look at us. We're at 10:59 here. Must be 11 p.m. 50 or 11:59 there. Let's see what happens. We're almost there. I see the tick.
Oh, here we go. 10, 9. I don't know if this is really like 7, 6, 5,
something, 4, 3, 2. It's midnight over there.
Great choice. Happy New Year.
Especially to the Bhutanese.
To the Bhutanese. Yeah. To the fine folks in Bhutan.
Reminder, just go to dcstreamathon.com, or sorry, .org, O-R-G, /donate, and show the kids you love them. Okay? You get a little extra spending money at the end of 2023. No better
Here's a great place to spend it. We better go a little faster through our movies and albums and games, because I still have a trivia game to ask
you. Yeah, we're going to haul ass here. Here we go.
Yeah.
Because we got like a half an hour, so we're going to hurry. The TMS top movies of the year I saw. I'll just list them. I don't have to describe them. Asteroid City. Loved it.
Yeah, Wes Anderson. At his Wes Andersoniest. There is more Wes Anderson film than Asteroid City.
He had Wes Anderson leaking out of him when he made that movie, and it shows.
Yes.
And I love it. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Absolutely loved it. Great it's my favorite set of hero movies in the history of superhero movies. I love those movies. And finally, this is one that's probably not going to be on a lot of lists, but I thought it was wonderful, and I really hope they follow it up. I thought Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves was one of the most fun times I had in a movie this year. So I'm putting that as number three. I loved it. It's great. If you haven't seen it, or you think, I'm not a nerd, I don't want to see D&D things, you can see it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Gina loved it, and she's never played a game of D&D in her life. So another really good at covering both sides of the audience.
No, and these, by the way, are things that we have seen. That's the other thing. You might go, wait a minute, you don't have the Scorsese deal on there.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, where's the Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yeah,
Maestro.
Yeah, keep in mind, we are only going to name things we have actually seen. Otherwise, what are we telling you? That doesn't make any sense. So that's why.
Exactly.
I've not seen those things yet. All right, Brian, what do you got?
I saw Poor Things, by the way. It's not on my list. But,
gosh, dang it. I can't wait to see that.
It's so good, but I'm not going to call it Poor Things. I'm going to call it Ta-Ta Land, because holy cow. Emma Thompson cannot keep her clothes on. Or Emma Thompson. And let's not see a movie where Emma Thompson can't keep her clothes on.
No.
No, that's fine. It's totally fine. Emma Thompson's lovely. Yeah. But, Emma Stone can't keep her clothes on for that film.
Yeah, I need to see it.
But it was so good. It was really good. Anyway, all right, my top movies. Documentary for my first one, The Deepest Breath. This is a documentary about a woman who free dives, which is like going super deep without any sort of air, scuba gear, anything like that. If you liked Free Solo, you'd love this, because it's kind of the going the other direction into the water. It's fantastic. Tetris. This is kind of halfway between a documentary and a bio and a fictional film, because it's kind of a stylized version of what really happened, but it's closer to facts than Ridley Scott's Napoleon, for example.
Interesting. They didn't they didn't attack the pyramids in this movie. Fantastic.
They did not attack the pyramids. Tetris, really good. And I'm sorry, another Apple TV joint. Spend your $5. Come on, dude.
Yeah, it's
what are you
worth
it?
10 now, but yeah.
Is it 10 now?
They went up $5, those bastards.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah.
And a last minute switch out. I had Wonka in there, but I realized it is my duty to include a Marvel, an MCU film, because of my fanboy nature with MCU. But Guardians of the Galaxy 3, not just my favorite MCU movie of the year, but my favorite MCU movie since Endgame.
Wow. And
they've been hit or miss. Shang-Chi was close to being my favorite, but Guardians of the Galaxy 3 kind of, for me, and it's James Gunn. He knows the magic, and he got things back on track for me with the MCU stuff.
Nice.
And not my favorite of the Guardians trilogy, but up there.
Yeah.
Tied for first place with
Guardians
of the Galaxy's movies.
You'd go 1-3-2 on that one, would you?
I would go 1-3-2.
Okay. Yeah.
2 has my favorite moment of any Guardians of the Galaxy film, which is the Mr. Blue Sky opening with Baby Groot. That's my favorite scene in not just any Guardians movie, but any MCU film. That part has me grinning, almost tearing up, because I love it so much.
That's awesome. Awesome. I am embarrassed to say, even though it's very convenient for me to do so, I still have not seen Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Embarrassing. I really need to do it. Maybe I'll do it.
You need to see all three. I don't think you've seen any of the three of my recommendations, but all three of them are so up your alley that they might as well have a Scott Johnson film as the title card when they start playing.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to all three. Let's jump to music. Now, these are the top albums that we heard, top three.
Yeah.
My first one's going to be maybe confusing to some or maybe surprising, but Zach Bryan with his debut album, Zach Bryan, self-titled album, is a country album. And it's in the vein of that New Outlaws stuff where, you know, you would take all their names just left me. Tyler Childers, Coulter Wall, these kind of guys, young up-and-comers in that space. They're a lot more grassroots and a lot more bluegrass as a result. And I really like that stuff. And I thought Zach Bryan's album was amazing. I listened to that like crazy. Number two for me, and these aren't really in order. These aren't like least to best or anything. These are just my top three. Cracker Island by Gorillaz got more playtime than anything else I've played this year. To the point of now, I kind of can't listen to it for a while. I need a break. But I thought Cracker Island was an incredible return to form for Gorillaz, and I thought that that album was amazing, and I loved it. And then my last one is a cheat. It's the first, because they haven't released the full album until the 22nd of next month or of this upcoming month, so I'm not going to get it all till end of January. But the first three tracks that got pre-released over time for Green Day's new album called Saviors is some of the most Green Day-ass Green Day you've ever heard. I cannot wait for the rest of this record. I am feeling that 90s punk vibe hardcore right now. I almost mentioned in this list, if I'd had four, I would have. The new Blink 182 album is also extremely good. It's just back to what made them great and sounds like what you love about them and feels authentic and awesome. And I love that they're making this music. So if you haven't heard them yet, go listen. Go look for Green Day's Saviors album. And the first three tracks that are out are freaking bangers. I hope the rest of the album is that good. Brian, what do you like this year?
So mine is going to be, I'm wondering if anybody's even heard of this first person. Somebody, one of our listeners has, or somebody in our listening audience has. A woman named Caroline Polachek. She is a New York City born, but has lived everywhere from Connecticut to the University of Colorado here in Boulder, just north of me, to Tokyo. And all of those influences come through in her music. She does this incredible collection, this incredible melange of all of these different styles. If you're familiar with Imogen Heap and Frou Frou and all those, I'd say that it's similar in style to that, kind of that indie art pop kind of sound, but definitely alternative pop music. Her new album is called Desire, I Want to Turn Into You. And she is fan-freaking-tastic. This is a late discovery. This was in All Music's recommended albums of 2023. And I'm like, oh, never heard Caroline Polachek. Put her in my car. And it was one of those where I, like halfway through the album, clicked the little button at the bottom to say, when you play the last song, play the first song again and replay the whole album because it's so good.
I will listen to her today after we're done. I've never heard of this person, but you're speaking my language with what you said.
You like my recommendation, like phases and those kinds of things. So
love it. Female fronted bands with that sound, that specific vocal sound.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
Love it.
Second one was the album that Apple told me I listened to the most this year, and it's no surprise because it's one of my favorite bands, Crowded House's new album, Dreamers Are Waiting, which sees Neil Finn and two of his sons joining the band, along with Mark Hart and his partner throughout Crowded House, Nick Seymour. They've just solidified their sound, and they're just incredible. Just completely... no filler on this album. It is good from start to finish. And I don't know, I can't remember how many times I listened to the album, but Apple told me and I was kind of shocked.
Yeah. And you have to believe them, you know, why would they lie to you?
Apple wouldn't lie to me.
No.
Last one, I had to have a cover album on there. And even though her song wasn't number one in the Coverville Countdown, this was my favorite cover album of the year. And it's Juliana Hatfield Sings the Music of ELO. So previously Juliana Hatfield had a whole album of Olivia Newton-John covers, and now she this year put out Electric Light Orchestra. On neither album does she sing Xanadu, so I have to assume that at some point she's going to release that as a bonus track where she does both Olivia Newton-John and
maybe she'll just do like a Xanadu cover album, just do the whole Xanadu album.
Oh man,
yeah.
Oh, there's so much garbage on that album.
I know, it's so bad. Sisters loved that to the point of they had it on all day, every day, nonstop for about 3 years of my life. That was just Oh, a bad time. It was a bad time.
That's horrendous. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, so those are my three. So Zach Bryan's self-titled album, Crack Rolling by Gorillaz. Yeah. Green Day's Saviors, Caroline Polachek's Desire I Want to Turn Into You, Crowded House, Dreamers Are Waiting, and Juliana Hatfield sings ELO.
Hell of a list. Go listen to it all. All right, finally, our category of gaming. I went through big time detailed hoo-ha encore. So if you want the real nitty gritty about what we talked about there and all the games of the year, please go listen to that. But for now, here's the quick top three. Yep. Baldur's Gate 3. Yep. Cyberpunk 2077, specifically the Phantom Liberty expansion, which came out this year.
Cool.
And Diablo 4. Those are my favorite three games that I play.
Nice.
Brian, what did you play? What did you spend your time with?
Here's what I spent probably 6 months of the year on is completing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I wanted to explore every freaking inch of New Hyrule and all that stuff. And absolutely devoured Tears of the Kingdom. It was so good. And I liked it so much more than Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild I loved. Tears of the Kingdom I loved even more.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, no surprise there. Again, I think I have to have a Marvel thing in my list here.
Sure.
But that I think may be the best Marvel console game I've ever played. It's really, really good.
For me, it's a toss up. It's a toss up between those and
Midnight Suns.
Midnight Suns, because Midnight Suns, while such a different kind of game, right? The genre couldn't be more different. That game is good. It's so good.
I need to play more, and I'm getting back into Midnight Suns, and now that I figured out a good way to do it, I'm gonna be doing it as soon as I get some more time. The third one is another kind of new one. Now that Disney's Dreamlight Valley is on iPad as an Apple Arcade and no microtransactions, no paying for things, it is the game. It's like Animal Crossing. If you hate Tom Nook, if you can't stand paying your money to Tom Nook, what is he, a raccoon?
He's a raccoon. Of course he's a raccoon.
Raccoons again.
Yeah. Of course he is, little bastard.
No, pay your money to Scrooge McDuck instead, because that's who you're going to be paying to build your house. Yeah. It's basically Animal Crossing for people who finished Animal Crossing. You've got the same kind of thing. You're breaking rocks with a pickaxe. You're digging, you're fishing, you're conjuring, you're doing all sorts of things. You're cooking. And I just unlocked Jack Skellington. So now Jack Skellington's walking around my village, and I couldn't be happier to have Jack Skellington there. I want to hang out with him all day long.
Yeah. He's a party animal, that guy.
He is. He knows how to get it done.
Disney's Dreamlight Valley is awesome also on Steam, although you pay a base price for it. There's no micros in that either, but you know, the game you buy.
There's an expansion that came out for it, so there's more to buy with
they have DLC.
The Steam version. Yeah. But you get that DLC for free with this, and it includes Gaston, Rapunzel, a whole new area to explore and build and live in. Eve from Wall-E is in there.
Can I murder Gaston? Can I murder him? Can I kill
you
him?
You can put him out in the desert to just die.
Oh, that's great. I'm doing that. That's how I'll play.
Yeah.
So well, there you have it. Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, Diablo 4, Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Legend of Zelda, I guess, Spider-Man 2, and Disney's Dreamlight Valley, all available to you on some platform or another. Those are our top picks. Now, I understand that Brian has brought a trivia game for me.
I have. I did a lot of searching online to say, all right, let me see if I can find some good New Year's Eve trivia questions. And you know what, Scott?
Mm.
There aren't a lot of good New Year's Eve trivia questions out there. Mm. So I wrote my own. I said, you know, I'm a dude that knows trivia and can write questions. I'm going to do it my damn self.
Ah, that's fantastic.
So I did it my damn self.
That's great. Here's some music for it. This is our New Year's moment. Let's do it.
Yes. So over the years, a number of movies have included scenes that take place on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So for 2024, here are 10 trivia questions about those movies.
All right.
I did stop after 10. I was going to go 24. I'm like, I can't write
That's a lot.
14 more of these.
24 is a lot.
This is perfect because we got 15 minutes left, so this will be perfect.
Yeah, this is great.
All right. When Harry Met Sally, probably the most famous of the New Year's Eve movies, but in the famous fake orgasm diner scene, an older woman played by an actress named Estelle says the famous line, "I'll have what she's having." Mm-hmm. How was Estelle discovered?
Oh, geez. Do you mean the character or the actor who plays her?
The actress that played... how was Estelle, the actress, discovered?
That's going to be hard.
Yeah. Happy New Year, Nepal!
Oh, yay, Nepal! Woo-hoo! Wait, why are they on the 15-minute mark? How are they?
They can't do anything. Right? They get this big mountain there, and it just screws with everybody's brains.
That's right. If you're going to worship cattle, I don't know what to do. All right? I don't know how to help you. All right, let's see. That's where that guy got his hand burned in Indiana Jones' first movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Let's see here. I'm going to say she was found. Just making this shit up. She was found at the cafe. They just ran into her while they were filming.
Sure. No, she is Estelle Reiner. Mm-hmm. She's Rob Reiner's mother.
Oh, shit. Gosh dang. I didn't know that. That's great. Because Reiner directed that, right? That movie?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. He's a better director than we give him credit for. That guy's got a lot of hits.
He really is. Yeah. And they're working on a new Spinal Tap. And because he's involved, I have faith.
Yeah.
Like all the original guys are involved. So I have faith.
Yeah. I'm excited.
The Poseidon Adventure capsizes on New Year's Eve. What is the name of the ship in the Poseidon Adventure? Just kidding. It's Poseidon. But we're going to go with this.
Damn it.
What comedic actor who passed away in 2010 played the ship's captain? And he's best known for a leading role as a detective in a one-season TV show that was followed by a trilogy of films.
Oh, Leslie Nielsen. Leslie Nielsen.
That's exactly right. Give yourself a ding.
Whew. Got a ding on that one.
Very good. Well done.
Took me a sec.
Four Rooms takes place on New Year's Eve. We watched that one for Film Sack.
Yeah.
And the Robert Rodriguez segment called The Misbehaviors actually takes place when the ball drops. By the way, the dead hooker in the mattress was played by a woman who's in a band. And I can't remember the band, but she's a musician.
Weird. Yeah. I thought it was going to be Rob Reiner's mom again or something, but all right.
That's all right. Yeah. But what actress, who's also better known as a musician, won the Worst Supporting Actress Award, the Razzie, for her role as one of the witches in the first segment?
They got a Razzie?
Yeah, she got a Razzie.
One of the witches.
She's an actress, but better known as a musician.
That'd have been Madonna.
That is correct, Mads. Yeah.
I forgot she was in that for a hot second. The music part helped. You helped me with that.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
1982's Diner takes place after Christmas with five close friends reuniting to prepare for one of their own's New Year's Eve wedding. Name any three of the actors who play the five buddies that reunite for the event.
Oh, man. All right. The director's in it, and his name's leaving me. Iron Man director. Jeez. Hold on. I got this.
I think you're thinking of the movie Swingers.
Oh, shit, I am. I'm thinking of Swingers.
So not Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn.
Ah, crap. All right, well, then now I'm screwed. Have I even seen Diner. Swingers? Or Diner? And Diner's Levinson. Barry Levinson, right?
Yeah. Barry Levinson, yeah.
All right, I'm just going to guess.
Sure. Came out in 1982. So pick three actors who were really popular in 1982 for their roles in a movie about dancing, a movie about babies, and a movie about cowboys.
All right. Wow. Okay.
Or a movie about smearing food from a refrigerator all over your partner while you're having sex.
Oh. Oh, I know him. The wrestler. Yeah.
Yes.
gosh dang it. These names are eluding me today. He's in a million things. He was in the first Expendables. He was in that one with the shotgun and the vagina movie and all that. And his name is... I'm just going to make names up. James Garner, Alan Alda, and Freddie Mercury were in that movie.
Wow, I would see that movie. You could have named Mickey Rourke.
Damn it.
Kevin Bacon, Tim Daly, Steve Guttenberg, and Daniel Stern.
Big old fart on that one.
Watch Diner if you've not watched it.
I've never seen Diner, and I've seen every Barry Levinson movie since, but never seen Diner. I don't know why.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
and Daniel Stern does a thing to a potential love interest, makes her go through something that I've been tempted to make all my potential
all your love interests,
all my love interests go through. John Landis's Trading Places also takes place during the holidays, but features a New Year's Eve train sequence. The commodities firm owners, Duke and Duke, make a bet that switches the fortunes of a stockbroker and a street hustler, Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
Right.
How much does the winner stand in this bet to take in if their side of the bet wins?
Oh my gosh.
It's a round number. I'll tell you it's a round number.
Speaking of Gutenberg, it's Don Amici's in that.
And yeah, it is.
And him and Gutenberg and Cocoon. Right, yeah.
The Gutenberg connection.
Yeah. Somehow I remember Don Amici. What the hell's wrong with me?
I know. Impressed with that. Good job.
I'm going to say $10 million.
It is $1.
They oh, make a shit. Bet
for $1.
I love that movie. What's wrong with me? I know that. I should know that. It's been a long time, though. All right.
Boogie Nights features a New Year's Eve party that nobody will forget, especially William Macy's assistant director character, Little Bill. Yeah. What year are they ringing in as Little Bill decides to violently put an end to his wife's extramarital affair?
Oh, that movie.
That scene is so freaking
good. That's really something. I'll say 1976.
Ooh, 1980. They're ringing.
Damn it!
They're casting out the 70s and moving into the 80s.
It feels so 70s that you just forget that they're even close to the 80s in that thing.
Yeah. Speaking of 1980, here's a movie here's one where I'm going to ask you to name the movie, and it's a 1980 movie that we watched for FilmSack. A killer calls into a radio show during a live punk new wave concert, announcing that he's going to murder someone as the ball drops in each time zone. Wow, it sounds like the Streamathon. What is the name of the movie that we watched for FilmSack where this all happens?
Strange Days.
New Year's Evil.
Damn it! Why am I so bad today? All right.
In Snowpiercer, they celebrate New Year's Eve every time the train makes one full trip around the Earth and crosses the fictional Yekaterina Bridge. Basically, everybody stops fighting so they can all cheer Happy New Year, and then they resume fighting after they cross the bridge.
Sure.
In what country will you find the fictional Yekaterina Bridge?
Are you kidding me?
The name should kind of give it to you.
Yekaterina. I mean, it sounds Italian. Italy?
No, Russia.
Shit! Oh, of course, Katerina, like Navratilova, that kind of thing. Shit.
Also, maybe the second best of the Bong Joon, what is his name? Boon Jong-ho
or whatever?
Boon Jong-ho films,
yeah. Yeah, what would be the first, Brian? What do you think the first?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, let me know, because I haven't heard it or seen it.
Though the movie spans decades, Forrest Gump only has one scene that takes place on New Year's Eve when Forrest tells Lieutenant Dan that he's going to be a shrimp boat captain. Dan says, yeah, that'll be the day. The day Forrest becomes a shrimp boat captain, he'll have what job? An occupation that Gary Sinise almost got to play a year later if it weren't for his character's unfortunate exposure to German measles.
What? let's say go to space.
Yes!
Astronaut. Is that it?
Astronaut.
Okay, yes. So the only reason I know that is in Apollo 13, there's a whole thing with him being too sick to get in the...
Correct.
The thing.
Yeah, he's exposed to German measles, and so he can't be... he can't go on the Apollo 13 mission.
I thought it was going to be more like some other very specific I have no legs problem, you know? Like run a race or I don't know, hike a mountain or something like that. But no, I got it. Give myself a point.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, the movie that Tina and I, our first movie together, even though I was dating somebody else, Ghostbusters 2, another FilmSack movie.
Such a bad movie.
Such a bad movie. Features the citizens of the newly happy New York singing Auld Lang Syne to weaken Vigo and send him back into his painting, Por Vigo. But before they sing the classic New Year's anthem, they sing what Jackie Wilson song, and I'll be very generous if you get even close to this, they sing what Jackie Wilson song, which gets the Statue of Liberty off her perch on Liberty Island and across the bay into New York City.
Oh my gosh. Jackie, I can't even think who Jackie Wilson is.
Soul singer from the 60s, 70s.
Okay.
You got what I need. I have no idea.
Oh, darn. Your love keeps lifting me higher and higher.
Damn it. That should have been one I would get, just because I remember that ending pretty well. That
if you even got close to that, I would have given it to you.
All right. Well, I didn't keep track, but I'm sure someone in the chat saw how poorly I did. Does anyone have a score? I think I got like three. I got like 3 of the 10, I think. So, yeah, pretty good 20% job here I did on the thing.
Not bad.
That was really good.
Not bad, because I wrote these a little bit more difficult. I gave them to my trivia team, and they enjoyed them. They did really well, but, you know, there's a Jeopardy a player and a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire player on my trivia team, so they would do really well.
Well, you did a good job writing it, and we knew that would be true. And here's the other thing we know to be true. We got about 4 minutes left, something like that. You guys need to get over there and donate and help out this streamathon, dcstreamathon.org/donate. If you go there now, you can be counted as someone who has helped out on the day, on the big day. Now, if you don't do it today, you could still do it tomorrow, the next day, or whatever. All right, they're going to keep the link live. Yeah. But I just think it would be really cool if your name showed up on New Year's Eve during the actual streamathon as somebody who wants to help kids in hospitals all around the country. Again, that is dcstreamathon.org/donate.
Yeah.
All right. 10 minutes until we raid Good Day Internet. So we have a little bit of time.
10 minutes. All right.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
We go into the 11:35 then, as opposed to 11:30. Okay, Dungeon Murder, of course, being the best board game.
Best card game of all of the year. There's no competition. Nobody else came close. DungeonMurder.com for details about the greatest card game ever made.
Yeah. But I'm going to throw out two more recommendations. Zombicide, Marvel Zombies, Zombicide. Played that over the break here, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So much damn fun. And then we took City of Tokyo up to my 99-year-old grandmother's house, and she was King Kong, the cybernetic King Kong, and she loved it. Oh my God, she had such a great time.
That's awesome. 99.
It was a blast.
Wow. She's still kicking.
She is as active. Like, if I'm even half as active as she is at 99, I'll feel like I've won. She plays golf. She finally thinks she hung up her golf clubs for good this year, but she also said that 2 years ago and the year before. So,
Wow, that's amazing. Do you think that is that the lesson? If you keep golfing and being physical and doing all that business,
she is always active. She, you know, she goes out and has like a bridge club with some friends this day, and then meets other friends for coffee this day, and then she goes to this other thing. You know, she is. we figured out that she basically only has one day a week where she's not doing something.
That's crazy.
So stay active, people.
Because yesterday I spent a good 2 hours on the couch doing nothing. I don't think that's going to contribute to my longevity.
Just don't, you know, do it 7 days. One day is fine, but don't do it 7 days.
That's right. Tonight we're going to a very low-key New Year's Eve hangout. And there'll be food and... Some people will be drinking, and Kim's making mocktails for those who aren't. And we're gonna play Dungeon Murder around a table.
Cool, very good.
That'll be fun. And the kids all have plans. It seems like it's gonna be a fun, good year for that. Everyone I know is sick except for the people I'm hanging out with tonight.
Oh gosh, wow. Good.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah, my crazy neighbor was sick last night, so he couldn't go to the Mammoth game. So instead, Tina and I went, and. The first half, the opposing team, the Vancouver Warriors, scored 11 points to the Colorado Mammoth's 5 points. In the entire second half, they scored nothing against us. We changed out goalies, and we won the game 12-11.
Oh, my.
Beating them in overtime by 1 point, and it was incredible.
That's awesome. What a fun thing to do.
Game. Best game I've ever seen of the Colorado Mammoth.
What a fun night to do, or a good Eve thing to do, you know?
Exactly. And my dad, my stepmom are in town. They're staying with us. They're upstairs right now. And we're going to go out and have dinner. I'm going to take them. I don't think they're listening, so I can say I'm taking them to Meow Wolf, blowing their minds with that. And then we're going to come back and probably play board games here.
I love that idea a lot. Right now we are 15 seconds away from, let's see, who is it? Sri Lanka and India.
Oh, cool.
Are about to hit their big moment of...
Oh, they're on the half hour thing. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is. I don't understand how that shit works, but I guess it works that way. And we're here to just acknowledge that it works that way. So right now, in just a couple of seconds, there it is. Good job, you two. You did it. One of the biggest countries in the world, plus... I don't know how big Bangladesh or Sri Lanka is. Probably not as big.
Yeah.
Guessing India's got a little bit.
I don't know how big they are. Yeah.
If I had to guess, you could fit many Sri Lankas inside of India. Or are they? But they're not all part of the same thing, are they? And I'm going to sound like an idiot tomorrow.
No, they're definitely different. It's a different country, but I don't know. Yeah, that's a geography thing that I would have failed at is point out Sri Lanka on a map.
Do it. All right. That is, I am told Good Day Internet is live. That means we can send over to them shortly. Have fun with Tom and them. But before we do, a final reminder from us to you to go to dcstreamathon.org/donate. I keep wanting to say .com. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And do that today. And also huge thanks for allowing us to be here and hang out and be a part of this every year. It's always been a good time. Special thought or special shout out to W. Scottis One, who it does a lot of the back end on all this. I know BioCow's involved with a bunch of it. You guys are all awesome and continue to be a great part of our extended community out here. Pakistan in 29 minutes. Some regions of Russia. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Uzbekistan. Yeah.
All the stands.
French Southern Territories. That sounds yummy. Anyway, that is going to do it for us. We're now going to send you over there. We're going to do a quick slash raid. Let's try this, see if it works. Raid, good day.
Raid, good.
See if it worked. Raid has been created. All right. As soon as everyone hits signed up, I'm going to hit raid now. And looks like it's almost ready. Here it goes. Thanks, everybody, for having us.
Bye.
You're off to them.
Now, Tom.
Everybody else who's hanging out and listening to us here, thank you for listening. Thanks for being a part of this. We'll be back on Tuesday, the day after New Year's Day, for a proper reintroduction of TMS for the rest of the year. Okay?
That's right.
So we look forward to seeing all of you guys then as well. Please, please come hang out with us then. We'll be live that morning, of course. And Brian, anything else you want to say before we go?
No. Happy New Year, everybody. Be
safe. Happy New Year.
Get more at frogpants.com.
No, I was going to play something and I've lost my place. Hold on. Here we go.
I can definitely see why you like it.
Yeah, you play an old favorite.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.